Good morning and welcome to Hope United Methodist Church. We're glad that you're able to be with us today, no matter where you find yourself. We have a few announcements for you before we begin our time of worship. First, a reminder that our Tuesday night Bible study continues to meet at 7 p.m. We meet via Zoom, and that information is distributed via the church listserv. However, if you are not on that or are not receiving it and would either desire to be on it or ensure you get the Bible study info, please reach out to us and we can make sure that you're added or that you get that information you're looking for. Also, our Wednesday night meals continue from 5:30 until 6:30, drive-through takeaway only. We ask that you enter off of Center Road and follow the parking lot around for the safety of our volunteers and also for the safety of all of you driving, that we don't have any accidents in our parking lot. Finally, a reminder that if you need to come to the building for some reason, you must make an appointment to do so, and that masks are required to enter the property. If you do not have a mask, then you will not be allowed into the building. That is something we are doing not only for our protection, for our staff, for myself, for anybody else who's in the building, but also for you, to make sure that we all maintain safe practices during these times as we strive to be a community that loves our neighbors. Now, I would invite you to take a moment as we prepare our hearts, our minds, and our souls for worship and listen to our prelude.
We've been in exile. We've allowed ourselves to be tempted by the idols of things and power. We found it isn't what we thought. Shopping therapy and yearning for a soda pop does nothing to build up our world. They are all fizz and sugar, satiating only temporarily. We're left with the same emptiness. We're left without the spirit words of God. We're alone in harshness and brokenness. Acknowledging our idolatry and mistakes, we turn back to the living water. We turn back to the love that flows forward, bringing justice and hope to all humanity. The word that comes from God's mouth does not return empty. God's word does as God intends. Always, always, amen.
My soul has often found relief.
We come now to our time of prayer, and I ask that you join with me in our unison prayer. Loving God, you call us to turn away from our own selfish interest, to take up our cross, and to follow after you, to find our lives by giving them up to your greater purpose. So we come before you this morning with open hearts and open hands, eager to hear your word, and eager to know your will. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, move within us and among us as we worship. Open our eyes to your presence, open our ears to your call, open our hearts to one another, and then send us back out into the world to live and work as your faithful disciples. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord, amen. Let us now continue our time of prayer with silent reflection guided by music. Lord, we gather this morning and we lift up to you a great many things. We lift up those within the body who are suffering, those who are dealing with health issues, those who are dealing with relationship issues, those whose families are enduring times of strife and struggle. Lord, we ask that you be with all those who serve in some capacity or another, local, nationally, internationally. We ask that you be with those who protect, those who protest, those who march, those who kneel, those who stand and those who sit. We ask that you be with all of us, those who have and those who have not, those who rely on public transportation and those who have access to their own means of transportation. We ask that you be with all of us as we live and walk in a world that often does not reflect the kingdom that you came to help us learn more about. We ask that you help all of us who walk and live in a world that does often not reflect the prayer that we say. We ask that you give us the strength to seek you out in the midst of times of turmoil and trial, and to always reside more fully in you and you in us, that we could be faithful disciples of you and your Son, in tune with the Holy Spirit. In all that we do, we ask that you would not only help us, but that as we offer this prayer, that the words themselves would transform us, that we might be transformed, and that these would be more than words we recite, but they would be words that transform and words that we live. And so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory, forever. Amen.
The king, Nebuchadnezzar, bowed low and honored Daniel. The king ordered that grain and incense offerings be made to Daniel. The king declared to Daniel, "No doubt about it, your God is God of gods, Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, because you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king exalted Daniel and lavished gifts on him, making him ruler over all the province of Babylon and chief minister over all Babylon's sages. At Daniel's urging, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to administer the province of Babylon, but Daniel himself remained at the royal court.
Our second lesson today is taken from Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 30. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue. It was 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. He set it up in the Dura Valley in the province of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar then ordered the chief administrators, ministers, governors, counselors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the provincial officials to assemble and come for the dedication of the statue that he had set up. So the chief administrators, ministers, governors, counselors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. They stood in front of the statue the king had set up. The herald proclaimed loudly, "Peoples, nations, and languages, this is what you must do. When you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, zither, lyre, harp, flute, and every kind of instrument, you must bow down and worship the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Anyone who will not bow down and worship will be immediately thrown into a furnace of flaming fire." So because of this order, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, pipe, zither, lyre, harp, flute, and every kind of instrument, all the people, nations, and languages bowed down and worshiped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At that moment, some Chaldeans came forward, seizing a chance to attack the Jews, and they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "Long live the king. Your majesty, you gave a command that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, zither, lyre, harp, flute, and every kind of instrument should bow down and worship the gold statue. Anyone who wouldn't bow and worship would be thrown into a furnace of flaming fire. Now there are some Jews, ones you appointed to administer the province of Babylon specifically, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have ignored your command. They don't serve your gods, and they don't worship the gold statue you've set up." In a violent rage, Nebuchadnezzar ordered them to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you don't serve my gods of worship or worship the gold statue I've set up? If you are now ready to do so, bow down and worship the gold statue I've made. When you hear the sound of horn, pipe, zither, lyre, harp, flute, and every kind of instrument, but if you won't worship it, you will be thrown straight into the furnace of flaming fire. Then what god will rescue you from my power?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar, "We don't need to answer your question. If our God, the one we serve, is able to rescue us from the furnace of flaming fire and from your power, your majesty, then let him rescue us. But if he doesn't, know this for certain, your majesty, we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up." Nebuchadnezzar was filled with rage and his face twisted beyond recognition because of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In response, he commanded that the furnace be heated to 7 times its normal heat. He told some of the strongest men in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the furnace of flaming fire. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were bound, still dressed in all their clothes, and thrown into the furnace of flaming fire. Now the king's command had been rash, and the furnace was heated to such an extreme that the fire's flame killed the very men who carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to it. So these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the furnace of flaming fire. Then King Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in shock and said to his associates, "Didn't we throw three men bound into the fire?" They answered the king, "Certainly, your majesty." He replied, "Look, I see four men unbound walking around inside the fire, and they aren't hurt. And the fourth one looks like one of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar went near the opening of the furnace of the flaming fire and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. The chief administrators, ministers, governors, and the king's associates crowded around to look at them. The fire hsinged done anything to them. Their hair wasn't singed, their garments looked the same as before, and they didn't even smell like fire. Nebuchadnezzar declared, "May the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be praised." He sent his messenger to rescue his servants who trusted him. They ignored the king's order, sacrificing their bodies because they wouldn't serve or worship any god but their god. "I now issue a decree to every people, nation, and language. Whoever speaks disrespectfully about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's god will be torn limb from limb and their house made a trash heap, because there is no other god who can rescue like this." Then the king made Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego prosperous in the province of Babylon. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. Aside from being a lengthy passage, this is a famous story of Daniel, probably second only to the story of Daniel and the lion, yet they bear great similarity. People of the kingdom of the Jews, abroad in exile in Babylon, saved by God from trial and persecution by ones who sought to manipulate situations to overthrow them for their own gain, and put them directly into a very harmful place, only for God to deliver them and for someone's heart to be changed because of it. Our scripture teaches us a lot. And in these times, it teaches us a lot as well about the importance of remembering that God is above all else, and should be above all else when it comes to what we value as Christians and what we strive for as disciples. It is easy to get up and make lofty statements and say, discipleship is important, this is what it means. But often the more difficult piece, and one that some have asked me about, is what should we do? How should we do it? Tangible, not just the idea of discipleship. Now, the first that we should do is remain committed to God. We should not allow earthly powers to supplant God in how we view the world, and we should not allow ourselves to be corrupted by earthly powers and the quest to serve God. The kingdom of God shall not be brought hence by earthly powers. We shall not have the perfect government, or the perfect president, or the perfect king, or the perfect dictator, or the perfect delegate body, or the perfect any kind of earthly political representation to bring about the kingdom of God, whether it be a democracy, a theocracy, or any other kind of government therein, because only God can bring about the reign of God by breaking through the world through everyday people's lives. God does not desire political power, though often that is something we succumb to, whether it be politics within a church, or politics within a country, or politics within the world. Often we think, we'll just let that take care of this work. So the first is to be grounded, to be diligent, and to be steadfast in our faith, remembering that God is above all else. It is for this reason that there should be no American flags in a church, because a church does not belong to any specific country. The church is an outpost and an embassy for the kingdom of God here amongst the world for all people, not beholden to any nation. So we must remember always that God is above all else. Second, we must be steadfast in our prayer. Prayer is something that connects us to God and reminds us to remain grounded in our relationship with God. When we pray, it requires that we take time engaged in silence, reflection, and meditation, and it requires that we talk with God. Prayer can steward us through difficult and good times. Prayer can deepen our faith, and our faith is always in need of deepening. In our Tuesday night Bible study, we're working our way through the Gospel of Mark. And this last Tuesday, we tackled the boat and the great storm and Jesus taking a nap. And in that passage of Mark, towards the end of the fourth chapter of Mark's Gospel, the disciples are panicking because they think the boat is going to swamp and they're going to drown. And they say to Jesus, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" And then he says, "Have you no faith?" After he calms the storm, he says, "Have you no faith? Have you little faith?" But he's not saying to them that they are faithless, but what he's saying to them is that they should be deepening their faith. They still have faith, but they are with Christ, and yet they are not deepening their faith. The journey of discipleship is an ever-continuing one that challenges us always to find ways to deepen our faith. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are living in a land foreign to their own land. And yet they have been put in positions of authority within that land because of the story we talked about last week and Daniel's ability to interpret dreams. And so they are in positions of power, and yet those others within the realm who want to seek that power seek to use the opportunity of the golden statue to overthrow them and take the power that they think should be for them. And yet Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are not worrying about their earthly power. They are more concerned about their relationship with God, and that is something that should be grounded in our prayer life. That we should be so attuned to the work of the Spirit and so entrenched in the power and the work of daily prayer that we cannot help but be grounded in our need for discipleship and our growth in faith. So first is to remain committed and steadfast to God, and second is to be devoted to the power and the work of prayer. And third is to dialogue with one another within the community. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to have talked to each other about their decision. To say, "I'm doing this, are you doing this?" They had to have rationalized it out ahead of time. Because our faith is something that we cannot develop solely on our own, and we cannot deepen by ourselves. We must work together to help one another deepen our faith. Early Methodism was based on small group discipleship and covenant, and the importance of working together on each of our souls and asking how we can grow in our faith each every day, each every week, each and every month. We have largely abandoned that within Methodism. And yet we don't understand often what is happening to the church. We need to return and get back to small group discipleship because it helps us to deepen our faith. It helps us to work on being grounded and committed to God. It helps us to deepen our prayer life. And it helps us to deepen our own faith because it holds us to a system of accountability with one another to say, "Have you worked on your discipleship? Have you worked on your faith?" We must be a people who protest earthly power that seeks to corrupt and utilize the kingdom for its own advantage, solely for its own advantage. And instead, are people committed to discipleship and accountability who are committed to have the level of faith that would call us to stand up and be prepared to be thrown into the fire rather than capitulate to the ways of humankind and of earthly masters. We must listen to those who are on the margins, and we must listen to those who hold differences than us. We must also learn to recognize when there is a legitimate difference and when there is simply something that is not a difference of opinion but is misguidedness. In certain things, we can have differences of opinion, and in certain things, there is not a difference of opinion. Some things are based in fact, and some things, like which sports team is better, is based in perception. And together we work to discern these things. This should be the work of discipleship, and it should be the work that we are engaged in. And it's why we must be committed to God, because that is going to be a rocky road, and there will be times that it is challenging and that we feel challenged and feel uncomfortable, and we cannot grow without being uncomfortable. We must have a deep and faithful prayer life so that when we are uncomfortable, we remain connected to God. And when we feel threatened and we feel concerned about the fire that threatens to overcome us, we realize that God is with us. But if our prayer life is shallow and vapid and non-existent, and a storm comes and threatens to swamp the boat, or we are standing in the wrong side, or we are standing against the earthly power that says, throw them into this furnace, and we have shallow faith, our faith may fall to the wayside. So we must be a people who are committed above all to God, who have a deep and everlasting prayer life, especially when times are hard. Especially when times are hard. And we must unite together in discipleship and covenant and accountability. We have to do these three things. Because the funny thing is, when we unite together in discipleship and accountability in small groups where we trust one another, and we know that what we discuss in the group stays in the group, and we can truly share without fear of judgment what is going on in our souls and in our lives, we are able to grow and we are able to wrestle with difficult topics, and we don't have to pretend like we have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. None of you has all the answers. But we like to act like we do. And if we act always like we know everything and we have the answer at all times, we end up looking like a fool because we can't admit when we're wrong and we can't admit that we need to grow, and all of us have growing to do. Covenant, discipleship, and accountability helps us to fully become the kingdom of God. And so the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing up for what they believe in and standing firm in faith should remind all of us always to commit ourselves fully to God, to be devoted to prayer, and to engage in accountable discipleship and growth, that we could be always living into the vision of who God is calling us to be. Amen. Now let us join in our next hymn.
In prison. prison bound, hopeless, numbed by fear, I ponder all your care. Thirsty as parched earth, I lift my hands in prayer. Answer soon, O God, my spirit faints in me. Do not hide your face, or I will cease to be. When the morning dawns, make known your love anew. Show me how to walk, for I will trust in you. Keep me safe, O God, and help me learn your will. Let your spirit lead through level pathways still. For your great name's sake, my griefs and fears dispel. Free me from my foes, that I may serve you well.
We come now to our service of offertory, and I know we cannot be together to put things on the altar and lift them up to the Lord, but the Holy Spirit and God are with us wherever we find ourselves, and they allow us to offer up both our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and also ourselves more fully to God, no matter where we may be. So let us pause now for a time of silent reflection and offering to God. Would you join in the doxology? Join in the unison prayer. Lord, we place much upon the altar for you, but most of all, we ask that we could place ourselves upon the altar. Help us to be people of generosity as we gather and strive to live more fully as your disciples. May we allow you to fully enter our hearts and lives. Amen. As you prepare to go back out into the world, may you remember to always be safe. May you remember to be grounded and committed to God. And may you remember that God is with you no matter where you are in your journey. Whether you be just starting out in your journey of faith, nearing the end of your labors, or somewhere in between, God is with you. And it is hard work, but God has not sent us out to do it alone. For God gives us the ability to gather in covenant communities. If you are interested in being part of a covenant community, a small, intentional group engaged in the work of discipleship and growth, I ask that you would reach out to me. Send me an email or shoot me a text. As we begin the work of being together in small groups and of growing in our faith, may you have the courage to accept the challenge to stand up and say, I need to grow. So shall we gather now and join in our benediction response, knowing that you may say it and sing it wherever you are, but that together we are engaging in a unison response to God, to one another, and to the importance of commitment. Let us sing.
God be with you till we meet again, neath the swing securely hide you. Day we menace to provide.
believe.